else.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Morning, happy Wednesday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program, and hope it's starting off right for you. It's a little overcast and kind of breezy, but not too bad outside. And again, we're going to have some unsettled weather. You heard the weather forecast there. We're going to have some unsettled weather for the next few days, but it could be worse, right? As I always say, it's all better than snow. Even when we go through those stretches of where it's 90 degrees plus and high humidity, still better than snow. So I'll take it. Although I won't take it very long because I'm heading down to Gettysburg as soon as the show is over today. So you'll have a mixture of Brian Thomas in and Paul Santos in. I believe Paul is in tomorrow and Brian is in Friday. And then Brian is in again on Monday. And then, because Brian's also covering for Barry, then Ken will be in for him. I may have that backwards, but I'll have to look at my schedule and somebody will be here either way. I want to thank everybody that came out to the Dipper Cafe last night in New Bedford for our Pizza and the Paranormal event. We packed the place. I know some people, you know, got upset. They showed up and when they went in, they said, oh, there's no place to sit. And so they left. And this was the first time that we've ever done this. We didn't know what to expect. And we will do it again. And the next time we do it, you know, the plan is to bring in some chairs and have a little bit more of a seating area, maybe move the pool table over a bit. But again, we weren't expecting the turnout that we had. Of course, we put out a Facebook event page for it, and we had something like 600 people that said that they were coming. Or 600 people that said they were interested in going. And 60 people that said that they were going. We're like, well, you know, even people that say that they're going don't all show up. Certainly people that say they're interested don't all show up. So we thought, there won't be that many people there. And I did see someone complain online about the fact that the place is too small to hold an event like this. And I'm going to take that as a huge compliment that you think that, you know, the crowd that would come to see me when I go out and talk about the Bridgewater Triangle would be bigger than what they can fit in the Dipper Cafe. So I would just say I'll be out there doing this same presentation at libraries and other places, and I'll keep everybody up to date with those. You know, those happen usually September, October. But thank you for, you know, thinking that I'm too big to play the Dipper. But this was intended to be kind of the first of a series of these things. So, you know, maybe next time that we do it, a couple of weeks or so, maybe the next time we do it, I'll do the same presentation so that people who missed out will have a chance to come. But you gotta get more pizza and beer. A lot of people were eating and having a few drinks last night. And it's just, you know, it's an idea because the idea came about because Josh, who is the co-owner of the Dipper, is big into the paranormal. He has his own podcast. And when I go in there, we talk about the paranormal and some of the different people that he's talked to and that I've talked to and about some of the different stories out there. And he said, what if we did something here? The genesis of an idea. So We will do it again. I feel bad for people that didn't get in, but again, there'll be other opportunities to see the presentation. And if you've already seen the Ghost of the Bridgewater Triangle presentation, I always reiterate to people, it's the same presentation with all the same jokes. But I do sometimes switch up some of the stuff in it or add new stories or experiences. Anyway, and it was nice to see how many people that came out are interested and knowledgeable about this topic. So we have a lot that we can discuss this morning, and the phones will be open, 508-996-0500. Because I was out there doing that, I didn't get a chance to really check in and see how the Ward 1 neighborhood meeting went last night, that Mayor Mitchell was in attendance for. I believe the mayor will be back on with Chris today, and they can talk a little bit about that. But I was talking with Ward 1 Councilor Leo Chiquette yesterday before he went on the air with Chris about, you know, just some of the topics that they were going to cover. And these neighborhood meetings are invaluable. You know, people call in to the mayor's segment here on WBSM, and they want to bring up every issue that they think that this is like the time to get access to the mayor. And it is to some degree. But people that will call up about, and believe me, I did years of running that segment, whether it be when I had the 9 to noon slot and we did it then, or going back to when I used to fill in for other hosts in the afternoon. And you get the people that call in and, you know, they've got an issue with trees growing on, you know, city owned trees growing under their property, or, you know, the sidewalk in front of their house hasn't been fixed. And this is all important stuff. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to lessen the need to fix these issues. But in terms of there are tens of thousands of people listening on the radio, it's just not good radio. Somebody that's listening in a different neighborhood don't care about the trees that are overgrown in your yard. They care about the bigger kind of citywide issues. They want you to call in and ask the mayor about things like, or they want to call in and ask the mayor about things like, you know, what's going on with the election, with the, after that investigation report came out, how far along are you in the action steps that report suggested that you take? Or, you know, what does it mean that this business improvement district is no longer moving forward in downtown New Bedford? You know, some of these questions, how about what's going on with the advanced manufacturing campus? Has there been any movement on that? So these are the questions that impact kind of everybody. The neighborhood meetings are a great place to bring up those issues, to bring up the smaller issues, the more minute and neighborhood-centric issues, such as, you know, people speeding down a certain road or issues with parking. And then from there, it'll rise to the level of, okay, we have the neighborhood meeting. Then the counselor or counselors who attend the ward meeting, they will bring that to the full city council. And maybe they have some of those neighbors come and speak to the full council, but they'll move it along. You know, it'll go to one of the committees and then to the full council. And that's kind of the way that it works. It has to start at that neighborhood level. And if your ward isn't having those neighborhood meetings, you know, somebody's got to step up and organize them. But that's why I was glad to see that the mayor was going and attending this, because that's when people can bring up those issues. Now, I say all that with the caveat that you can call the mayor's office anytime with those issues. And I know people don't, what'll happen is they'll call into the radio and say, I already called your office and I never heard back. The mayor's office, when you send them those complaints, those issues, it does the office, not the mayor himself necessarily, but the office does look into those things. There was someone who complained and called in about a light that was needed in one of the tunnels that the train tracks go over. And the mayor took note of that, and you know, and he has usually Jonathan Darling, the city spokesperson, here with him, and they take notes about everything, and they say, you know, we'll get back to you and we'll look into that. And they do. And the same thing happens when you call into his office. It might not move with the same speed that you would like it to, but they do listen to every person that calls in and complains. I mean, granted, some people might just be serial complainers, and yeah, eventually you'll tune out a person like that. But so people will call in and bring up those issues that would be perfect fits for neighborhood meetings. So if you have some of those issues and you don't think they're getting addressed, talk to your ward counselor and see, say, is there a ward meeting that I'm missing? If not, how do we get one going? But I noticed that in the last year or two, there's been a real emphasis on getting those back going. And by the way, the other part of that too is there's strength in numbers. So if you're one person that has an issue and you keep calling the mayor's office and you're not happy because that one issue isn't getting done, well, when you bring it up at the neighborhood meeting, there might be a dozen people that agree with you that that needs to get taken care of. And that dozen people might reach out to the mayor. Or that dozen people make it clear to the ward council that this is a priority issue. So that's the real kind of secret sauce of having your voice heard, is starting at that level. If you feel like you're screaming into the void, trying to start at the top of the pyramid, I guess, it's probably because there's previous steps you could have done to strengthen your position. So I think anybody who has an issue, sure, contact your ward counselor or a counselor at large with that issue. Let them know about it. Let them know that you think this is a problem or that something needs to get taken care of or whatever. And sometimes they can just get that done for you without having to move it along in the process. Sometimes there's an issue, the ward counselor can call, say, DPI, they come out and they fix it. But if it's a more serious issue or an issue that requires the mayor's attention, let your counselor know about it. And then maybe they would suggest, let's bring that up at the next neighborhood meeting. And it's also, and we talked about this when Linda Morad was the council president last year, and she would come on with me on Fridays and bring on different counselors. I remember talking about this with Councilor Giesta, with Councilor Carney, now Council President Carney. We talked about, Councilor Gomes talked about it. We talked about how the neighborhood meetings are not only a great way for you to have your voice heard, but also to meet your neighbors. I was talking to someone last night who bought the house of someone in New Bedford, bought the house of someone who had lived to a very old age and ended up passing away. He came in and bought the house, and he talked about all of the other neighbors that live around him who have also been there for a long time. You're going to have a lot of those stories as older generations pass away, where you've got new, you know, and in their day, everybody knew their neighbors. If you've lived in that neighborhood for 50, 60 years, you probably know everybody in the neighborhood, whether it be you grew up in the neighborhood, you might live in the house you grew up in, if not in the amount of time that you've lived there, you've come to know the people around you. And let's just face it, if you go 30, 40 years back in time, people knew their neighbors more. Now it's not the same. Now people kind of keep to themselves for the most part, especially in a city. So the neighborhood has changed over the last 30 years. New people have come in, and they might have been there for a long time. They might have only been there for a few years. But this is your chance to kind of meet face-to-face and say, oh, you live in that brown house? Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, you do a great job on your lawn, by the way. You know, this is a chance to kind of meet each other. And it's a lot easier to get along as neighbors if you see each other from time to time. I lived in a house for 17 years where I barely knew the people around me. I knew the people that lived on one side of me because I knew them before I moved into the neighborhood. The man across the street, I was there for probably 14 years before I ever had a conversation with him. And I only started talking to him because it snowed and he was elderly and I went across the street and shoveled out his driveway. I knew the woman that lived on the other side of me. She ended up selling. Actually, I knew the family that lived there when we first moved in because they had young kids. We had a young kid, you know, and introduced ourselves. Then a woman bought it. We knew her. Then new people bought it and I didn't talk to them for like a year. It's just, maybe that's just me, but that's kind of been the case everywhere I've lived. I've moved around a lot and very rarely were we friendly with the neighbors. Maybe we knew one or two, but not everybody on our block. But my grandmother knew everybody on the block. It was weird. They didn't really ever know anybody across the street because they lived on a busy road, but they knew everybody on their side of the street for the entire block. My dad and his parents and his sister and brother, they knew everybody in their neighborhood. So I don't know what's changed, but these neighborhood meetings are the perfect way to make that connection again. And then you have people that you can lean on. 508-996-0500. I'm going to take my first break of the morning. We'll be back in a few moments. That's a great song if you've never heard that before. Roland the Headless Thompson Gunner by Warren Zevon. 508-996-0500. We're going to take more of your calls coming up after the news. We'll take your app chat messages and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. A reminder, too, that we still have Doobie Brothers tickets to give away all this week. And that will be going until Friday. And then on Friday, we will have our new contest. Two contests for you beginning on Friday. That'll be all through next week. We will have Missy Elliott, Busta Rhymes, Ciara, Timbaland, all playing TD Garden Saturday, August 10th. We're giving away tickets to that. And also the same night, Saturday, August 10th, we have tickets to give away to New Kids on the Block, Paula Abdul, and DJ Jazzy Jeff at the Xfinity Center in Mansfield. So you can enter to win either one of those or both. You can't win both, but you can enter both. And you could be, which is fine, because you can't go to two concerts at the same time anyway, right? So you could be going and enjoying all of the hits of those artists. All you have to do is enter online. Those will go up on Friday after our Doobies concert wraps up. And all of these contests are brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven, the home of the Purple Dot, where you can try before you buy. Now it is time to go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
Biden readies for his first address since dropping out. An explosion at Yellowstone sends tourists running. And sharks testing positive for cocaine.
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Biden will address the nation tonight from the Oval Office. This will be his first speech since he dropped out of the 2024 presidential race on Sunday. Biden told his campaign workers over the phone Monday that dropping out was the right thing to do. Top Democrats are officially endorsing Vice President Kamala Harris for president. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries made the announcement on Tuesday, saying Harris is ready to lead the nation.
Kamala Harris and her candidacy has excited and energized the House Democratic Caucus, the Democratic Party, and the nation.
The two leaders also praised what they called President Biden's selfless decision to exit the race. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will deliver an address to Congress today with one notable absence. The vice president will not preside over Netanyahu's address to Congress, as vice presidents typically do. Instead, she'll travel to Indianapolis for an event scheduled before launching her presidential campaign. Republicans seized the opportunity to slam Harris for missing the event, accusing her of boycotting the speech. Harris, however, is set to hold a separate meeting with Netanyahu. A hydrothermal explosion at Yellowstone National Park sent tourists running on Tuesday. It happened at the Biscuit Basin Geyser. A column of hot water, mud, and rock shot out of the ground. Tourists on a nearby walkway ran for safety. There were no reports of injuries. The Department of Justice is opening an investigation into the deadly deputy-involved shooting of Sonya Massey earlier this month in Springfield, Illinois. Civil rights attorney Ben Crump announced the probe on Tuesday.
There have been some concerns and revelations by the family that we think needs to be investigated and addressed completely.
Massey was shot and killed by now former Sheriff's Deputy Sean Grayson inside her home after calling 911 to report a possible intruder. Body cam footage of the incident was released on Monday. Grayson has been charged with first-degree murder, aggravated battery, and official misconduct. The peer-to-peer payment system Zelle is being looked into by lawmakers amid a growing number of scams on the platform. Tammy Trujillo with more.
The Senate Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations heard testimony Tuesday from the CEO of Early Warning Systems, the company that runs the Zelle network. Also called on to testify were executives from Bank of America, JP Morgan Chase, and Wells Fargo, the three biggest Zelle owner banks. The subcommittee issued a report faulting the banks for only reimbursing 38% of customers who said they did not approve a transfer from their account. Early Warning Services maintains that 99.95% of transactions are completed without a complaint of fraud or scam. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
And sharks off the Brazilian coast are testing positive for cocaine. Mark Mayfield with the story.
Biologists tested 13 Brazilian sharp-nosed sharks in the waters near Rio de Janeiro and found concentrations 100 times higher than previously found. It's not exactly clear how the sharks are coming in contact with cocaine, but theories include that it could be from labs where it's manufactured or the excrement of cocaine users. The findings were published this week in Science of the Total Environment. I'm Mark Mayfield.
WBSM Sports.
The Red Sox shut out the Rockies 6-0 from Denver, and they go for the series win this afternoon.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Good to be with you, everybody, on this Wednesday. Chance for showers this morning. Temperature around 70 with plenty of humidity. Slight chance for a thunderstorm or two late morning into the afternoon. Temperatures topping out in the mid-70s this afternoon with showers overnight tonight, mostly cloudy. The shower potential will diminish, but it'll pick up once again as we're into tomorrow. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci Del Carmen on New Bedford News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM news update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Welcome back in. And I got to say, if you weren't already worried about going out in the ocean with sharks, now you've got cocaine sharks, which will probably be the next movie. It'll be the sequel to Cocaine Bear, which was based on a true story. So maybe Cocaine Sharks, the movie, will come out. Although I don't want to see the scene at the beginning of the film where it explains the origin of the cocaine sharks if it came from eating cocaine users' feces. So what happens? You do a lot of cocaine, you go in the ocean and take a dump? Is that how it works? Because I don't know how you get that out. I mean, unless you're just...
Well, I'm sorry. I'm speechless myself.
Maybe some of the wastewater treatment, you know, like down here in New Bedford, when they let it out into the ocean, maybe it doesn't process the cocaine. I don't know. Not that there is cocaine in people's feces here. No, right. We wouldn't do that, but...
But, I don't know a lot about this kind of thing, but I wonder, wouldn't that have to be a whole heck of a lot of people
with
cocaine in their feces in order for it to have an impact?
Or one person with a whole heck of a lot of cocaine in their feces. Right. So
I don't know.
But as if, sharks didn't scare you enough. Like, imagine sharks all hopped up on cocaine.
Cocaine Shark will be the next low-budget film to emerge on cable.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, there's Cocaine Bear.
I haven't seen Cocaine Bear.
Okay.
But I've heard good things. It was on Peacock, and I was going to watch it, and I never got around to it, but I've heard good things. People liked it. But that's based on a true story. This is a true story. Well, Elizabeth Banks, what are you doing? It's time to start directing Cocaine Shark.
If she knows what's good for her, she's going to get right on it.
So, but you're right. It'll probably be a Sci-Fi Channel original instead. Do they still make movies? Do they still do Sharknado movies and all that stuff?
I don't think they've done one in a while, but... I can't see them stopping it. It was a big thing. Maybe every 5-10 years, bring out a new one.
I heard Kevin Carr doing the movie reviews on America in the Morning last week, and he was talking about Twisters. And he said, the plot will be very familiar to all those people who have seen Sharknado. And I was like, well, I guess I'm like the only person left that never saw any of the Sharknado movies.
Right.
So,
and if you have, then you'd think, well, maybe I don't need to go and watch Twisters now.
I don't know. I recently rewatched Twister, the original.
Yep.
And it's not a good movie. Mm. People love that movie. It's not that good. Maybe I'm looking through the lens of 2024 at it, but the special effects are terrible.
Yeah.
The acting is terrible, and the script barely makes any sense. But it's a fun popcorn movie. Like, I don't dislike the movie. It's just not good. It's like one of those movies where you're just watching it because it's good, fun entertainment.
Right. And we've got worse things to be afraid of now. I feel like.
I'm still pretty afraid of tornadoes.
Well, sure. I don't want one. I don't want any.
Wait for the new sequel, Microbursts.
Yeah. Ooh, there you go.
But I will say Twister had that great Van Halen song on the soundtrack, though. Humans being. I guess the soundtrack to Twisters is all country music, so I'm not going to listen to it.
Okay.
It was a choice, but they went with what was, popular, and it kind of fits, Oklahoma and all that kind of stuff, but no, you need that Van Halen song in the movie.
Right. I'll have to go give it a listen.
You don't even know what, you don't know the song I'm talking about?
I don't think I do.
Humans Being. That's the name of the song.
Okay.
It was like an obscure throwaway track, and they ended up putting it on the Twister soundtrack, and it became a big hit, so.
All right.
The last hit they had, really. And I think the last single they put out was Sammy Hagar.
Well, hopefully it'll climb the charts again.
I'll probably play it before the end of the morning.
Cool. I want to hear it.
All right. Let's take a phone call here. Let's go out to Lamone in Las Vegas. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
What's shaking, Playboy? Did you get my message last night?
No, I got your message this morning because I was asleep when you messaged me.
Oh, I was going to tell you about Yellowstone, but that's okay. I'm sorry I woke you up.
You didn't wake me up. I got home later than I expected. I laid down at like 10:30, and so I was, asleep later than usual, but normally I try to go to bed between like 9 and 10.
So you know what's going to happen is they're going to have, you talking about the sharks, they're going to have the sharks from Rita Moreno and stuff like that, the musical, coming
the West Side Story sharks?
Yes, that's how they're all hopped up a blow. That's what it is. They see them running around there. Damn sharks.
The dance sequences would go a lot faster then.
Oh yeah, but you got to think it's going to be aquatic ballet, kind of like that. So you know, it's going to be like Ethel Merman. What's her name is whoever. You know, Esther Williams. It's going to be like her in the water, but shark fly. So you know, you're going to start hearing baby shark, shark, baby shark, shark. You start hearing that over and over and over again when they come to chase you. Baby shark, sharks are going to jump you. So like I said, you better watch out. You know, this cocaine is a mofo, in case you didn't know.
Well, so, you know, regular sharks like dun dun dun, and cocaine sharks like dun 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 dun. So, you know, they're coming a lot faster, but it might be too late.
And it's crazy. It depends where they're coming to or from. And it's like you've got to think about that. Oh, that's crazy. I'd be scared. I'd be kind of nervous.
Well, it's one thing you don't have to worry about in Las Vegas. There's no sharks coming to get you out there.
Well, plus they closed it. They closed like down the Mirage where they had like the shark had the dolphins and all the stuff, all those things like that. They moved them all out, and so they, you know, like with the lions from Siegfried were over there, they're all gone too. So that's sad. You know. The days, and just think, Siegfried and Roy were still alive. And just think, Siegfried died 8 months after Roy did.
Yeah, I mean, they were partners in all things.
And they were together for like the last 15 years. They were still kind of living together, but they weren't together anymore. And then that's how that went down like that. I have a video where I was the day that after Siegfried died, I took him, did a video outside his house. I remember seeing how like the kids would go up there and line up for Halloween. They'd sit up there, go wrap around the neighborhood, like a mile around the neighborhood, all get in line so they could get those big, like 12-ounce Hershey bars or stuff like that, the big ones. And they would slide the tickets in there inside the wrapper, not inside the chalk part, but inside the wrapper around there. And the tickets were back at the last time, was like $105 per person to go see the show. And it was worth it. It was beyond belief. And it's like, oh, those are the days, you know. And Jerry Tarkanian, Jerry the Shark Tarkanian, that's the best shark I've ever heard of. You know, some of those dancing sharks that like to hop around like that, you know, living in America. So, you know, at least, you know, at least they're very, very, very America-esque, you know, they're all American, you know, they're coming to America. So, like, the kids here these days, oh, America, oh, I was. If I could throw rocks at a lot of people, I'd find a bunch of people and throw rocks at maybe dirt clods or something like that. I don't hit too many people with rocks, but there's some people they might pick them up and start smoking them. Say, darn, cocaine gets around everywhere. I hate when that happens. So yeah, it's crazy though.
I just got an app chat message from somebody named Timu who asked me if I'm actually interviewing one of the cocaine sharks right now, Lamone.
Yes, you are. Timu, move over, butter. Yeah, so that's crazy. So what tell them, yes. No, I wouldn't be, like I said, you were figuring out, brother. That was never really my thing, you know. My thing is hootisserie. That's my drug of choice of time. If I were to do any kind of, well, preferably. I'm not saying I haven't done anything else. Or haven't grown anything else, you know, or anything like that. So are you doing spooky this weekend?
We are not. I'm going to be in Gettysburg this weekend.
I thought you were going to be in Gettysburg today.
Yeah, I'm leaving today, but I'll be back next week.
That's so sad. Are you think you might bring some back with you from Gettysburg?
Like a ghost?
Yeah.
I hope not. No, they should stay where they belong. I don't want to take their history and their ghosts away. No.
Yeah, and it's hard bringing them back, though, too. You know, they don't know their... No.
They'd have to wait till next year when I go back. They'd have to wait a whole year to return, so...
What if they did come with you? And like I said, when I come to visit...
I'll be with Stephanie and Scott. Stephanie will make sure that there's no ghosts that follow us.
Well, then you ought to call me when you guys got there so I can follow you guys. They're still doing the show? Their show?
No, they're waiting to find out if they get another season, but they'd have to be on hiatus right now anyway because she's expecting a little girl, so.
All right.
They both are together, so. I got to hold you there, Lamone. I got some other calls, and I got to get to a break, but you have a great rest of your week, and I will talk to you next week.
I'm trying to, Playboy.
All right.
Shaggy's coming.
Not that Shaggy, the other one, but tell Mr. Bombastic I said hello.
he's my bastard. I'll tell him when I see him again.
All right. You have a good one.
Boy, God bless everybody out there in that beautiful, beautiful land of where you're living at.
All right. Take it easy.
I'll try. Play, young player.
All right. That is Lamone in Las Vegas. Let's take another quick call here before we take a break. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
I'm going to talk to your boy out of Las Vegas.
All right.
From Cheech and Chong up in smoke. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I don't care. People think I'm funny. I'm a big rock star and I smoke a lot of cocaine.
I was all, my favorite Cheech and Chong was Born in East L.A. because I had that cassette tape when I was a kid and I thought it was the most hilarious thing ever.
Yeah.
And then Basketball Jones was a good one, too.
Yeah, I was a teenager when that came out, and I actually saw that the same night I saw Warriors at the same drive-in.
Wow, Warriors is a great film.
And I started to get stoned before the Warriors, kind of remember bits and pieces of it, and then watched Cheech and Chong, and of course, kept partying. So a few months later, I had to go when it was down the Cape somewhere so I could see it and watch the whole thing and not get stoned. I was a crazy teenager. I didn't care.
Warriors is one of those movies where you feel like you're stoned even if you're not when you're watching it. It's a very surreal film.
And now this is a huge fan club. It's over like 1.5 million people worldwide. And there's been a upkick for some reason in the last 2 or 3 months. The numbers are crawling up again and people are watching it again.
You go to some of these Comic Cons and things like that. There are people who cosplay as the different Warriors, the different teams. Get people dressed up as the Baseball Furies, and if people out there have never seen the movie, like, people either love it or hate it, but I recommend watching it at least once.
I had a crazy weekend of things, and it involves phones, a lost phone, and trying to get a new phone and all that. And next time I see you face to face, I'm going to have both phones with me. Basically, Sunday night, I spent 1 hour and 15 minutes trying to just activate a phone that I had sitting around for 6 months that had never been activated. I got a SIM chip system, and they were trying to tell me that the phone number attached to the phone wasn't showing up in the computer. And I said, well, it's not showing up here either. And so I asked them, is it possible that since you guys you're offering Walmart people a free Infinity chip, that's happening? They said, no, that phone that you have has the original chip in it. And we're reading it. I said, okay. So then when we walked through everything, I got blanked out, and then I could only just see the digits for dialing. I couldn't pick up any apps. I couldn't go to settings. I couldn't do anything. So they told me they'd call me back in an hour. They didn't call me, Tim. And then all of a sudden at 4:15 this morning, which I had to go and get a whole different phone, which is active, which I'm calling you from now, and that other phone rang at 4:15 this morning.
Mm.
Took them 58 hours to straighten out whatever was wrong with the satellite, whatever. And all that the person said was, it's possible that that worldwide situation, because you had mentioned, and there's notes here, that you had had this attached to your tablet. So it's possible that that was a problem. But I had people worried and fearful because people didn't hear from me for a couple of days, and I couldn't switch the phone number over from the old phone to this phone. And
when people don't hear from me for a couple of days, they just assume I went into hermit mode, which I do from time to time.
It's a crazy part. So now there's this, and I'll close with this. There's a new phrase now attached to me. It says when the impossible is possible, and it's not in a healthy way, not in a good way.
Well, hopefully, you don't have any more issues with it.
I lost the phone at 2 o'clock in the morning coming back from CCON. I put it on the hood of the truck and pulled out. When I got near Swansea, I realized, uh-oh. So I doubled back to where I was physically parked in the driveway I was parked in. It wasn't there. The homeowners looked for it the next morning and walked up the street, up to where Showcase Cinemas were. Didn't find it. Didn't find the damage or anything. So that's why I went about trying to activate another phone and switch the number.
Wow.
What a world.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hopefully that'll be the end of your issues.
Doing politics and the computer outages and everything else. Yeah. And Biden's resignation, I'll call it, right? I'm dealing with all this craziness.
Yeah.
Have a good one, my friend.
Take it easy. All right. We got to take a break here. 508-996-0500. We'll be right back. And welcome back in. If you haven't been to seizethedeal.com lately, I would recommend getting over there because we have lots of great deals up there right now for you to check out, including $50 in gift certificates to the Old Grist Mill. Fantastic place. What else do we have? We have $40 to Duke's Bakery for just $20. By the way, that $50 to the Old Gristmill, $25. Everything's half price at seizethedeal.com. $25 to Dough Company for just $12.50. And we have a couple that are coming up. Oh, well, I mean, it's not just about food either. It's also about experiences. You can get a one-hour session at Stumpy's Hatchet House in Fall River. Normally $57. You can get that for $28.50 right now at seizethedeal.com. So for under $30, you can go try hatchet throwing if you've never done it before. Highly recommend it. It's a lot of fun. We have coming up on Friday two great deals that will go on sale. $50 to Profile Tavern and $50 to Alianza, both only $25. And if you have used Seize the Deal before, you know, you order it and then it takes a few days to come in the mail and then you can go out and use it. I want you to go and check out the $50 e-voucher to Ryan Sports Pub and Billiards in New Bedford. You can get that for $25. And it's an e-voucher, so you get it immediately. You can use it right away. It's the best way to experience Seize the Deal. It's the future of Seize the Deal, getting it right away and being able to just go to the restaurant. So many people say, why do I have to wait? I want to get it now. And you can do that now with the e-voucher to Ryan Sports Pub and Billiards. So go grab yourself one. It's only $25. You get $50 worth of food, and you get to try out the e-voucher system and see how it works. And then let me know what you think about it. All right, I got to take another quick break here, and we'll be right back. I think we all want to be rich, but we'll settle for getting those Seize the Deals and saving some money, right? Angela in Freetown says, did you say Profile Tavern is doing a Seize the Deal? Where can I make a purchase? Well, on Friday morning at 9 a.m., those are going to go on sale at seizethedeal.com. So just go to seizethedeal.com, and if it doesn't already set you to New Bedford, if